kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, the vast power of iHeart, the global reach of podcasting, you have stumbled upon another edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. And for that, we thank you, because 4 hours a night are not enough. We do this 8 days a week, 8 days a week. As you know, if you are a loyal minion and supporter, we thank you. And tell a friend that this is a secret cheat code. And if you did this, you'd make my day. And I'm hearing reports of people that found the podcast because of this word of mouth advertising. If everyone listening, you and the other people listening to this podcast, get one person, friend, coworker, relative, to download this podcast, we will immediately, in the bat of an eye, double the podcast numbers, which would be great. Make the bosses happy and all that stuff. So, and also, I'm not opposed. I've said this in the past. I'm not opposed. Grandpa and grandma have a smartphone. They're not that tech savvy. If you happen to borrow their phone and subscribe them to the podcast for automatic download, I don't think they'd be upset by that. I don't think that's illegal. Maybe I'm wrong on that. If they let you borrow the phone or whatever. We are joined west of the 405, sashaying his way down the catwalk, doing a pirouette. Mr. Look at Me Man, David Gascon.
I feel very honored to be introduced like that. I don't know, if I had an entrance, like I was a WWF wrestler, would it be more like Rick Rude or Mr. Perfect? I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, you would be the heel. Right? I think we all know that.
They were both heels.
No, but you there's no, on this show, you are the bat, you're like a low-level Batman villain on this show, right? You have nefarious intent.
Yeah.
You're menacing against the Maller militia.
Yeah.
Now, you're like the perfect gargoyle. Right? You're like a fake tough guy, you know,
I love gargoyles.
That's a drop. Yeah. That's a drop. I love, you said it. You also love Lucifer. You're a big fan of Lucifer.
Wow.
No?
Were you a fan of Batman back in the day as a kid, the show?
I did. I love, you know, the TV when I was a kid was terrible and we didn't have the internet. So I watched they still were showing the Batman, the TV show Batman reruns. I was a big fan of that.
Adam West, baby.
Yeah. It was so corny. Yeah, I watched some really crappy, like Chips, the TV show Chips. Oh, yeah, I wanted to be in the California Highway Patrol because of Ponsarella.
Don't forget Dukes of Hazzard, man. Dukes of Hazzard.
That's another one. But Chips, it was funny because when I first started in the radio and I was in San Diego, and then I got the reporting job, so I'd go into LA, and I remember making the turn from the 10 to the 110. Going to the sports arena, and you drive in that circle, you drive right past the California Highway Patrol headquarters in downtown, which is where they filmed, you know, Chips, the show. And so I got so excited by that. And I was like, oh man, that's where Ponchirello was at, you know, all that stuff. Right? And I loved, there was a show called Emergency.
Cheesy. William Shatner was the host of that one, right?
No. It was like an ambulance, like fire station show and stuff. And it was like cheesy 1970s, early 80s television. And it was like Station 51. They made up this fake fire station. And I watched that a lot because that was on TV in the afternoon when I got home from school. And I drove by. Unfortunately, that fire station it's a real fire station. It's actually west of the 405. It's over in your territory, which is unfortunate. But they did film that show there. So some of the shows I watched back in the day.
I'm looking up the cast. Yeah, William Shatner did Rescue 911, but yeah, Emergency. I'm looking that up. 1972. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was off the air by the time I started really getting into TV, but they still, you know, reruns. They didn't have anything. They were still showing I Love Lucy reruns and Three Stooges and, you know, stuff like that was still getting regular play on television. So, and Archie Bunker, which I don't think they'll even broadcast anymore.
No.
I guess I'm old. I don't know what happened, but it's crazy. Anyway, we have the mailbag, Gascon, your favorite podcast, my favorite podcast.
I know you're not sending in. I know you're not supposed to look forward. You look, you know, look back a little bit, but I'm eagerly awaiting the mailbag for next week for some reason. Just putting that out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just have a feeling there'll be a handful of people that start whining and complaining about certain kind of audio that is being bled into their ears, but we'll wait and see.
Well, listen, that is your domain.
Yes.
You are the engineer, producer of the Fifth Hour. So if there's any problems, any complaints, you can direct those to David J. Gascon and send those in.
Yeah.
So, all right, here we go. This email bag, first one's from Pierre in Springfield, Massachusetts. He says, being the prestigious and wealthy radio personalities that you are, have you ever had ad copy cross your desk that you flat out rejected and told the company that you wouldn't read or endorse? It's not like either of you would endorse just anything, say like an erectile dysfunction aid. I'd absolutely endorse that. In fact, maybe I do. In that vein, Pierre says, have you ever had a dust up with an employer over something that you said or done on the air? Well, of course, that's happened over time. Me and Looney, we had one of our sponsors was a bacon company, right? And I had made a joke on the air, you know, we were trying to ad lib, improvise the copy to get you to buy this unique brand of bacon. And I said, this bacon's so good, even Jews eat it, right? Like that. Now, I thought being Jewish, I'd be able to get away with that, but this was several years ago and I got in trouble for it. So some guy was listening and complained. And I was like, well, I thought I had the exemption. You know, it's like when, you know, black guys do jokes about black people, you're allowed to do it. I thought that was the rule, but I guess not. So, but what about you, Gascon? Have you gotten in any trouble with any of this stuff?
No, I've never gotten in trouble, but I've never had... I mean, most of the copy that I get is just, it's like one or two lines outside of like a Discover card read, but nothing ever to that point. Like, I haven't gotten it. Have you gotten woke copy yet? I haven't gotten any woke copy.
I've gotten some with like woke phrases that I've tried to work around, but you know, hey, we're as John Sterling told us, we're here to sell the soap.
That's right.
We're here to sell the soap.
Now, it's a little bit different because we work on the national level, where the national level, we don't get paid to read copy. Regional. Well,
unless you have a special side deal, then you'll get paid to read copy. Usually we don't get paid extra for the commercial endorsements. That is accurate. All right. Chad from Champaign, Illinois writes in. He says, hey, Ben, have you actually counted or have a rough estimate on how many hats you own today? We've actually talked about this, Chad. I don't have a number. I think I want to say the number is like 30 or 40, but I think it might be even higher than that. He says, do you have a room of just hats on display at the Mallard Mansion? Where do you put them all? Well, I actually have them right now. I have these big hat bags because I have noticed if you leave your hats out, there's this thing called dust that gets all over the hats and it becomes problematic. And so I keep them in these airtight plastic hat bags, which are specially designed to store hats. So that's where I keep them most of the time, the only problem with that is I can't see everything. So sometimes I have a rotation of hats that I try to go through, but sometimes I'll forget a hat and then it'll be kind of be lost in one of the bags. And so then I have to go back and go through it. But that's the hat deal, Chad. Gio writes in. He says, do you enjoy doing the live radio show or the podcast? Well, I like both. I prefer radio. I've done that a lot longer. I like that we can say whatever we want on the podcast. Like, I feel like podcasting, is great. It's more narrow, though. The audience is less than radio. There's still a lot of people that don't listen to podcasts. Podcasts have become very big and much bigger than they were when they started, obviously. But there's always that magic of radio where people driving across the country stumble upon the radio and they're lonely or whatever. You don't get that with the podcast. You have to want to listen to this podcast. You don't stumble upon this podcast.
So, yeah, that's safe to say. And then on top of that, you mentioned it in past episodes with people being able to rate it and comment on it. People just can't access it all the time. I did find out that some of the platforms too aren't always updating content too, like Apple iTunes at times or even iHeart won't automatically refresh or update content on the regular like it did in weeks past. So kind of curious about that.
Interesting. On our podcast or it's podcast in general?
It's podcast in general, yeah.
Okay. All right. Bill in Los Angeles writes and he says, if there are 100 legs on a centipede and 1,000 legs on a millipede, how many stamps are in a stampede? And then he says, this is for you, Gascon. If a woodchuck could chuck wood, how much could a woodchuck chuck if it hired a bunch of guys from Home Depot?
It's a good question. One.
And he wants to know, what time is it in Brisbane, Australia?
What are they like? Are they like a 12-hour difference from us?
No, they got to be more. New Zealand's like 18 or 19 hours, depending on the time of the year. So I assume Australia's, are they on the same time zone as New Zealand, or is it like an hour difference? I think it might be an hour difference or something like that. So I think they're 20 hours.
Wait, no, they're 14. Oh, they're 14 hours ahead of New York, so 17 hours to us.
Yeah, I'm worried about us.
Yeah, 17 hours.
So, yeah, because I know, because I go on in New Zealand every Friday, and that's a 19-hour gap from West Coast time.
Oh, yeah, with Darcy, right?
Yeah, Darcy Waldergrave. So I actually go on Friday afternoon in L.A. I go on my hit time, my call time is at like 1:20 roughly, between 1:20 and 1:25 I'm supposed to go on. But that is Saturday morning. It is the most listened to Saturday morning like show in New Zealand. They don't have a lot to pick from, but they love that show. It's like a news show. It's not even a sports show.
Oh, they might just love you for your accent.
My weird Yankee accent?
Yeah, your Yankee accent.
All right. David in Toronto says, hey, Ben, why don't we just allow pitchers to pitch with a tool belt on their hip? Well, that's essentially what Pete Alonso said, right? Didn't Pete Alonso say that this week? That we talked about that, did a monologue on it. He's like, I don't care what they use. Let them have all that behind the mound. They can do whatever they want.
I feel bad for Dave in Toronto.
Really? Why would you feel bad for that? Because he's in Toronto?
Because that country's lost right now, man. People aren't going out. Kids aren't going back to school. It is just lockdown central. It's wild. I got family live not in Toronto, but in Canada. It's just awful.
Wild and crazy. And they have bagged milk also. Bagged milk. But the poutine is good if they can get to it.
Yeah, it's true.
Poutine's wonderful. All right. Michael has a Gascon list question for both of us. He says, rank the cheaters, Lance Armstrong, Garrett Cole, steroid guys, trash can and buzzer cheats in Houston. All right. So on my big board here, I've got number four on the list. I am going to put Garrett Cole. Not that I'm dismissing what Garrett Cole's doing, but I'm going to put him last on this list. The Yankee pitcher using spider tack to doctor the ball. Then I would put the steroid guys ahead of Garrett Cole. So they're number three on the list. Now, number two is a toss-up. I'm going to give number two to Lance Armstrong. And number one, the Astros, the cheating Astros, edging out that scoundrel, Lance Armstrong, who hornswoggled, although to be fair, Armstrong in the big picture, that charity that cancer charity, which was taking money for cancer awareness and not really cancer research, which is bullshit. Mm-hmm. It should be number one, but I have a beef with the Astros. But in society, you would say in the general population, Lance Armstrong, because of the charity stuff and also just the lying and all that. But it's cycling, so it's not, to me, it's not that big a deal because I don't really follow cycling, the sports part of it.
I'm going the opposite way. I will go Lance Armstrong as number one, Astros number two. And don't forget, he didn't win just one Tour de France. He went on a run. And the ability for him to have that blood cycled in and cycled out, beat all those tests, to do it with one testicle, and then at the same time just absolutely crush his relationship with Sheryl Crow. I don't know if they were married or dating at the time, but he was encompassing like the United States as just that American bred. He was that symbol, right? He was Rocky in Rocky IV. He was our white knight. And the fact that he went internationally and cheated the entire system. I know obviously cycling is full of cheats, but for him to do that on such a national stage, and don't forget, like the money is one thing, the prize money is one thing, but the endorsement money is a completely other thing. And he raked in thousands and millions of dollars. And, you know, had a double middle finger to everybody and then goes on TV and his act of contrition was so small. I didn't believe one ounce of it at all. But, you know, the woe is me and the victim card, too. I Lance Armstrong's the top dog on that for me.
Yeah, he's a douche. He lied. I mean, there were people. He won a lawsuit. That's like, you know, you talk about lawsuits and winning and losing lawsuits. He won a lawsuit against someone that said he cheated while he was cheating. He won a settlement.
It was one of the testing. It was one of the delivery guys, right? I think it was one of the delivery guys that was delivering or transporting the blood samples from one center to another. I think that's what it was, and he got fired.
Well, that was the Ryan Braun thing. Was that the Lance Armstrong, right? Ryan Braun accused the guy from
that.
FedEx.
Yeah.
That's good. And then remember, like, Eric, all these athletes, of course, the dumb athletes, the dumb jocks are like, oh, no, Ryan Braun never cheated. Remember Aaron Rodgers said he would get a year's salary or a game check or something on that? It's so funny. These guys are such dopes. All right. Anyway, moving on. Mark in Ottawa, another fine Canadian lad, says, what is David's favorite thing to gag on?
The Ottawa Senators.
Okay. Ricardo from Fresno says, Ben, how many callers do you have on the payroll?
Yeah, no shit.
That's a good question. Well, right now on the payroll, we've got Marcel in Brooklyn.
Pierre.
Pierre doesn't call. Beer drink. He's on the Twitter payroll. That's a different part. We have, who else? We have Beer Drinking Brian Half Pint.
Chris in Houston. City.
Chris in Houston has been on the payroll for a while. Regina in Minnesota, Hollering James in Minnesota. We're very big Hayes in Minnesota. Mm. We pay a lot of our callers from Minnesota. They're characters on the show. They're voice actors. They actually appear on a lot of radio shows. We've had, go down the list here. Of course, in Maine, we have Blair in Maine. We actually changed his character. He originally was Blair in California. We changed his character. We paid him a little extra money to pretend to be Blair in Maine. We did that. Blind Scott, Blind Emmett, the Seahawk fan. He's a new character. We have a big budget on this show. We pay a lot of random people. Jed Who Fled, the guy that pretends to be a meth addict on the show. He's a popular character on there. We have Fats in Philadelphia, you know, the cliche trope of a fat Philadelphia sports fan that lights himself on fire and screams my name. That cost a lot of money because he got a daredevil rate guest gun when he lit himself on fire during the draft. We had to pay him daredevil money, Fats. That cost us a lot of moolah. And then we have like people we pay on, you know, we pay on Twitter, like, you know, Justin in Cincinnati, Just Josh, J Scoop, Queen Roxanne, you know, Goat Man, you know, we have joke writers that it's a very expensive show. This is a big budget operation here. That's a great question, Ricardo. We pay a lot of people.
It's very kind of you to actually pay some money to Justin in Cincinnati. I know he's been out of work for the last 2 years because he's a dumbass. So congratulations. Good job.
At this point, I don't think he's out of work. I think he's retired. I don't think he can say he's out of work. He hasn't really wanted to work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he can't even figure out which body is which. You know, my
That's
God.
Amazing.
All right. Kevin in Kansas writes, and he says, "Dear Ben and David, as a high school teacher, I like to hear where my former students have ended up as they move on in their life. Do you ever hear from former teachers who are proud when they hear that you're on national radio?" You know, I have not directly heard from any teachers. I have heard through associates. There's a few people I talk to from high school or elementary school. Actually, there's one person who's still friends with our elementary school teacher, Miss Kleeman. And she's retired, you know, she's, I guess older at this point, obviously, because she's a lot older than I am. And yeah, she's aware and supposedly very proud. So that's cool. But yeah, if I was a high school teacher, that'd be like the coolest part, like to see what happens, what these pupils go out and do. I think that's pretty good. What about you, Gascon? Any teachers reach out to you?
I've had a couple coaches that have reached out listening to the podcast. And I'm like, man, why listen to the podcast? Yeah, because it's so different. You know, people will say, man, you sound drastically different on the air than you do in person. And part of it's because, you know, how I am or, you know, how I talk in person is, probably a little bit more R-rated compared to on television or radio. But
I used to get that a lot when I was doing stuff back in the Dodger days, because the guys on the team, and I was in the locker room a lot, hanging out with those guys, and I was, have a good time. And the guys would be like, you're like a total introvert. You don't say anything when you're around us. And then you get on the radio and you won't stop talking. Like, what is that? You know, they're giving me a hard time. And I was like, well, yeah, if I get on the radio and I'm an introvert and I don't say anything, I won't be in radio. I have to talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy dynamic.
Yeah, it's not that hard to figure out. The arithmetic on that is not that hard.
Yeah.
This job is not that easy. All right. As a young man dating in your teens and young adult years, did you ever, this is from Vols fan Jimmy in Fayetteville, Tennessee. He's got that nice volunteer accent. He says, young guys, did you ever get caught red-handed, busted, cheating on your girlfriend or boyfriend? For both of you. No, the answer is no. I had such a struggle dating. I was in no position. Like, I probably would have if I had the opportunity, but I didn't have the opportunity. So it was never an option. It was never a card that I had, because it was a struggle to get second dates. So I mean, the idea that I would be cheating on someone seemed preposterous. Now, Gascon, I've heard you're a playboy. I've heard you've been chastised by some women there. You've had a wandering eye. Is that accurate?
Yeah, but I've never been caught. I've never been caught red-handed with my hand in the cookie jar. Yeah,
elsewhere.
I've never been caught. More about circumstantial evidence that has led me on the out and out, but never red-handed, thankfully. So I was able to maneuver and talk my way out of some traffic at times.
Yeah. Well, they do say, though, the more you talk, the more it's an indication you're lying, right?
Yeah, but when you're younger, you're more likely to believe some of the shit that's out there. So I had the gift of gab early on. And, don't forget, I was a young buck staring down the barrel of Chief Gascon. So whenever that's I got true, into trouble with the chief, I had to make sure I was like locked down, like believable, convincing, eye-to-eye contact, never wavered. So I was a tactician back in the day.
So you're telling me that the chief, being your father, allowed you to become a better manipulator because you had to get around a man whose job is to figure out whether people are lying or not.
Yeah. I mean, obviously him being in the household, it was my way of sharpening the knife, right? Like if I could sharpen the knife and use those skills there, then I could use it on anybody, which sounds really bad.
West of the 405, need I say more?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Barry from Nashville says, "Yo, yo, Ma Benny," and that has yet to pick up Barry. I know you want people to say that when they call up Yo-Yo Ma Benny. It's yet to happen. Hopefully it will. He says, if the Clippers win the NBA championship, will you commit to Gascon that you will celebrate by cooking the tomahawk steak? Yes, Barry. If the Clippers, when the Clippers win the championship, when they come back against the Utah Jazz here and win the championship and then knock out the Suns in the Western Finals and take down the Brooklyn Nets, I will cook the tomahawk steak. And not only will I cook it, I will video it and put it on social media so you can see me cooking and eating said steak.
I have a vested interest now in your Clippers because I actually made a wager last weekend with a Fox Sports Radio colleague that the Clippers will beat the Utah Jazz. And if they do, I get a steak dinner.
Who did you bet?
I bet George Reister.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Yeah, and the weekend guy. Yeah.
So I said, he bet Dan Beyer a couple weeks ago about the Clippers and Mavericks, and Dan won himself a steak dinner for him and his wife. And so I said, hey, the application of this bet has to be the same. So if the Clippers win, I get steak dinner for myself and a plus one. So he said, all right.
And if the Jazz win, you have to get him a steak dinner? Is that
no, I got to buy him an expensive bottle of champagne or wine. So,
Well, you're coming out ahead on that. You're just going to go down to like the 99-cent store and get some, $2 chuck.
He mentioned the wine. He mentioned the alcohol. I don't know what kind it is, but I did the price check on it last week, and it carries a hefty price tag.
How much is it?
It's like close to three bills.
$300 but oh my god.
Yeah. So if the Clippers lose, I'll need some scratch from you.
Yeah. Checks in the mail, pal. All right. Carlos in Houston says, since you're putting all these doctors on your podcast, what are the chances that you put Doc Mike on your podcast? Also, where can I get that Ben Maller tune with J Scoop and Just Josh? Well, Carlos, I know you're off social media right now, which is problematic, but both J Scoop and Just Josh are on Twitter. So if you get like a burner Twitter account, they'd be more than happy to share that. You can get copies of all those songs from J Scoop and Just Josh, and also Raz Quit the Band from Minnesota. He's put all his material on YouTube. So you can find that stuff as there as well. And I have recommended putting Doc Mike on the podcast, but I've gotten pushback from someone. I will not say the person's name, but he lives west of the 405, who has taken an anti-Doc Mike position. In fact, I've said, why don't we just put some of the callers on? We'll learn about them. We did a very popular series during COVID, which was the Power Hour, and did very well. We learned about Doc and Cowboy and different people. And you've been against that, though, Geska. You've been against that. You feel like they're below you. You'd rather talk to reporters from BuzzFeed and other people.
Yeah, Dr. Saad. It's a tough time because when you have people on that go on your radio, the problem is that many people don't want to listen to people with lisps or talking through that one hole in their mouth with no teeth. Like I don't want to invest in dentures for these people. I don't want to have to guide them to the phone to direct them how to dial up the internet and things of that nature. It's really, I don't like associating with those kind of people, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. What you're saying is you're basically announcing, I'm an asshole. and I want, just in case you thought I wasn't an asshole, let me criticize and denigrate, just malign, people. And, we'll just say how weak they are. And they're below me. They're the hoi polloi. They're the flotsam and jetsam of society. Yeah. And, I'm an aristocrat. I'm a robber baron. So I am better. And so these people should be killed.
Yeah, well, I'm not killed. That's a little dramatic, but how about this?
Beaten to a pulp.
We can put on I'm a pilot. I'll allow him to come on to the show. How about that? I'm a pilot first, Tammy second, Queen Roxanne third, and that I think will Do it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. What about your guy Terry in England, who's also a toe sucker for you?
Terry's sleeping during the times that we record the show, so I can't disturb him while he's peacefully sleeping the night away.
Oh, you know his sleep schedule. Wow, you are tight with him. I don't know the listener's sleep schedule. That's wild. You just admitted you know a grown man's sleep schedule. That's embarrassing.
Well, I know your sleep schedule, so that doesn't say a whole hell of a lie.
Well, yeah, we work together, but you know, we don't work with Terry in England. My God, it's embarrassing. What's wrong with you?
Keeping the foreign relations, man. United States and the UK, strong as ever.
Yeah, listen, I am all about giving back. I'm a man of the people, right? I'm not below that. You know, I'm blue collar all the way. So I would, you know, the blue collar radio guy, I would love to put more listeners. Doc Mike would be great. A moving man, Matt, hates your guts. He would be wonderful. Chris in Houston. He can tell us how much he hates when we put these political type guests on and all that and can complain and whine and bellyache about all that and tell us how wonderful Houston sports is, unless it's not. All right. Next one from Kyrie in OKC. He says, Big Ben, the GOAT, what is the origin story behind you hating ranch dressing, which is the greatest condiment, he says, of all time? Why do you hate it so much? And not to leave you out, gag on, is there any condiment or sauce that you despise as much as Ben hates ranch? He says, thanks for all the love every week. By reading my questions, I run around the house telling my wife, kids, and mother-in-law and playing the question for them every Sunday. Well, God bless you, Kyrie. And really, God bless your wife, your kids, and your mother-in-law for having to put up with you. So good job by them. But the short answer, I'll go first here, Gascon. It goes back to my childhood and my first and only experience with ranch dressing, where I realized immediately through the palate of a child that this was the devil's blood. And anybody with a discerning palate will tell you that ranch dressing is not only disgusting, it's putrid, right? It tastes exactly like it should because it is halfway rotten milk. That is what ranch, you are consuming halfway rotted milk. You're not consuming some fresh thing. It's half rotted. Why would you want to take that particular item? And, you know, if you take it out of the fridge, by the way, and you smell it, and the fridge, it smells my wife has ranch dressing. It smells up everything. It's terrible. And yet, over the last almost 30 years, ranch dressing has been the most popular salad dressing. Now, I was told by somebody in the restaurant business, the reason that started being the number one condiment, like in the Midwest and whatnot, is because it was so cheap. They'd mass consume it. They, you know, make a lot of money. And then the other thing is like blue cheese dressing, which sucks also, right? Which is a little more flavorful than ranch dressing. But the point is that a lot of people in America have really bad taste buds. So that's the point. What about you, Gascon? Anything that you despise?
I think blue cheese I despise. But on the other side of the spectrum, I don't know why. I love teriyaki sauce on just about anything. There's a spot in Torrance or Gardena, and it's kind of like L&L Hawaiian. It's called The Loft. And Ben, they would serve these giant plates of grilled chicken teriyaki with white rice, mac salad, and then these fat French fries. And man, I would dip my French fries into the teriyaki sauce. It was that good. And I will put teriyaki sauce on a lot of things. I'd put on the mac salad, I'd put it on the rice. Teriyaki sauce, it's got a lot of steam to it.
Yeah, no, I'm a big teriyaki sauce supporter. I'm an advocate of the teriyaki sauce. I don't eat it enough, but it's wonderful because it's mostly sugar. Yeah. That's all you do. Now, I just want to point out that as we are recording this podcast in the new studio that we're using for the next couple of weeks here on the podcast, the wife overheard my anti-ranch dressing rant, and she's decided, my wife has pushed back here with ranch propaganda.
Yeah.
And she's giving the talking points of the cult of ranch dressing. And she says, she just sent me a message here, says that ranch can be made without buttermilk, which it's not really ranch dressing at that point. And then she's also said buttermilk is what is left over after butter is churned. And she screamed, she wrote in all caps here, "You eat butter." Yeah. Should I contact a divorce attorney, Gascon? Do you think this is worthy of divorce court? What do you think?
No, but I think she's going to cut you off for sex for a week.
She's also threatening me, Gascon. She says that I am not getting out of this. She likes to say she's a stage five clinger.
Come hell or high water, baby.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we have more questions. Steve in Winthrop, Massachusetts writes in. He says, which happens first, Cam Newton throws a touchdown or Tiger Woods gets another rent-a-car?
That's good.
I'm going to go Cam on that. I think that's a rhetorical question. Let's see here. David from Simpsonville, South Carolina has a question for Gascon. He says, would you consider being the bachelor or be on the Bachelorette? For both of you, what size t-shirt do you wear as well?
Man, I could never do one of those shows. The only show I would ever consider doing, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was like late 90s or early 2000s, was Temptation Island. It was on Fox too for a while. Did you ever watch that?
I saw a few episodes. I vaguely remember the show, but yes, I've heard of it. I think I've used that reference in monologues when I talk about free agents. I'll say Temptation Island.
Yes, like that show was so good. So for people that don't know or remember that show, I believe it was at least, I think it was 10 couples. It was 10 couples, and then they would have 10 single men and 10 single women. And you'd be off in paradise for an extended period of time, and the couples would split and they'd go off with the opposite sex. So women would be with all the men, and the men would be the obviously the men that were in relationships would go with all the single women, and they would just be partying it up. And obviously the idea was to see who would break in their relationship and who would play on. That's the only show I think dating wise I'd ever go on. But that was an awesome show.
Well, that's appropriate that you would pick that show. All right, who else do we have? By the way, my t-shirt size, I could wear an XL, but I'm more comfortable in a 2XL. I like it a little baggy. I don't like the thin fit and the skinny fit. And then I need the key thing. This is the problem with t-shirts. I've seen some really cool t-shirts online that I'd like to get, but I need tall size. I need a tall size because I cannot wear a regular size because it just does not fit properly.
Yeah, so, I wear extra large.
Just a regular? You don't need a tall size?
No. Someone asked me that the other day about you, and I said, I think you wear a triple X because I didn't know the dimensions.
I did wear a triple X, but I don't wear a triple X. It's a 2X. I can get by with a 1X as long as it's not like a skinny 1X, you know?
Yeah, I didn't know how they made those because you're what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, I'm in that area. And
yes. So yeah. I didn't know how they made the shirts that way in terms of just the length on them, so...
Like there's some websites I've come across that have like really cool shirts, and that I'd like buy a bunch of them, but they don't have tall sizes. So I'm like, well, I can't buy it. It's like, I'm not going to be able to wear it. So what's the point? Fred from Spring, Texas writes in deep in the heart of Texas. He says, do you or David have any food phobias? Yeah, I don't know if it's a phobia, but I've taken a strong anti-seafood position. I want no part of it. I don't eat, pork, but that's my parents' fault because I didn't do it as a kid, and I've just gotten to this point now. It's like I don't drink coffee because I've never had coffee, so it's one of the things I can brag about. So
yeah. I don't eat a lot of seafood, and I particularly do not eat eel. I tried eel once, and it was awful.
And, yeah, it's really the texture, right? The texture, that's the problem, I would think.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a squid or lobster. Yeah, I haven't gotten any of that stuff. I'm mostly like, you know, ahi, some tuna, some scallops, a little bit of shrimp. Yeah.
We have a studio audience here, by the way, Gascon. My studio audience informs me that may or may not be the wife, that my food phobias include eating meat on the bone, which is accurate. I do not like wine, cheesecake, and I do have a phobia with tofu. I do not like tofu. Do not like the texture of tofu.
Well, so that this makes sense then, since the tomahawk is burning in your freezer and your wife has negated that that present for some time too. So,
but wait, there's more, guest God. I also do not like undercooked hamburger. Yeah. So apparently, I have a lot of food phobias that I did not realize. But a voice in my head, the peanut gallery, the upper balcony, is filling me in on all the phobias that I did not realize I have.
You know what? I don't eat it. I don't think you do either. Spam. I do not eat spam.
Don't eat spam. Also don't like soft tacos. To me, I should just eat a burrito. Anti-salad. Also, I'm anti-salad. I do not believe in eating salad. I think that we should not kill plants for human consumption. I think it's wrong to kill vegetables. Oh, and I support the life of vegetables. I think they should grow. You know, lettuce should be able to grow and live a nice life. And I think it's really evil of human beings to have vegetable farms. It's as bad as the chicken farms. So you should just not eat any of that stuff. It's just bad. And the morality of these vegetarians to think that they're somehow, that the vegetable doesn't have feelings. Yeah. Fuck them. How do they know? Yeah. They don't know. They've never been lettuce. They've never been tomato. They don't know.
The other thing I have a phobia with is I hate, and I will never eat it again. I will never eat cold chicken tenders. I will never eat cold Raisin Canes. I will never do you that won't. Again. I will never okay. eat cold yeah. Raisin Canes.
Well, there's a way again. To avoid that. There's a way to avoid it. And it's if you go to a party and the party starts at 7 o'clock, and if you show up at 10 o'clock, you're probably going to get cold chicken. If you show up at 7:30, the food will still be hot. If you show up at 8 o'clock, the food will still be fresh. If you show up at 10 o'clock, probably not going to be fresh. I'm just throwing it out there as a, you know, common courtesy.
Yeah. I had other social obligations to attend to.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. This one's from Ravi in Dublin, California. He says, Ben and Gascon, I have been listening to the Ben Maller and the Fifth Hour for a couple of years now. Both are very entertaining shows. And he says, I know David gifted fine meat for you in 2020, your birthday there, which Ben has not yet cooked. Considering how popular Ben is, I was wondering, I sent a couple of handmade character boards, wooden knife, and a page-long handwritten letter over a month back. It's in an unattractive Amazon reused box, so nothing perishable, but any possibility of Ben opening those gifts in 2021, he says. Again, love the show. Yeah, Ravi, thank you. Everything's messed up right now with the mail. And I have picked up the mail a few times. I'm actually not in the main studio because of, you know, what's been going on the last year. I will be going into the studio actually tonight. So I hopefully will be able to pick up some of the mail. I do appreciate it. And, you know, I'm pretty bad about that. I try to give shout outs when I can to people. And we should just do one podcast where I just thank everyone, guests, thank people. We've been very generous. I mean, we don't get paid a lot of money. You get paid peanuts, Gascon. I get paid chicken feed, but you know, it's for the podcast. It's more. I call it a labor of love, Gascon, because if it was anything else, we wouldn't do it. And so that's the deal on that. But I do thank you, Ravi, and I look forward to. I've not gotten your gift yet, and it sounds. Sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to see what's in that letter. So I do thank you. Richard in Etowah, Tennessee. I think that's how you say it. Etowah. You ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
I don't even know if it's a real place, but he said that's where he lives. He says, when will that west of the 405 douche gag on bitching? Stop bitching about the tomahawk steak. It's getting old. Yes, John?
Who sent that?
That's Richard.
Oh, well, Richard, you're a fucking dick.
I think he is a dick. That's why. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Wizard from Indiana. Wizard from Indiana says, I've enjoyed the show for years. Who's going to coach the Pacers? So that's a sporty question. I don't know. Terry Stotts, Mike D'Antoni, some retread coach. That's usually how these things work. the Pacers hired a newbie coach, and that lasted 1 year. You should never get rid of a coach after 1 year. You've done something terribly wrong if you've gotten rid of a coach after 1 year. Marine, last one, another sporty question. Marine in Boston says, do you think Tuukka Rask should retire from the Bruins?
Man, well, he got shelled by the Islanders the other night.
Yeah, well, Marine, keep in mind, you know, I'm not the hockey guy, but I would have gotten rid of Tuukka Rask when he walked out of the NHL bubble last year. Like, if I was in charge of the Bruins, I would have disowned Tuukka Rask because he agreed to go and then he bailed out. So I would have been like, you know what? Thank you. Don't let the door hit you in the ass is what I would have done.
They've had two of the most volatile goaltenders in league history. Tuukka Rask and Tim Thomas, like those two guys, polar opposites, but man, they are extremely volatile. But yeah, they should be.
Well, Tim Thomas, man, he was one of the originators, right? Tim Thomas back in the day with the White House stuff and that whole deal, and that was a big deal.
So. Yeah. All right. And upward.
Yes. Well, thank you. That'll put the bow on another weekend. And I do look forward to sending, getting the complaints because they'll all be about David Gascon. So if you'd like to send in a question for next week's mailbag. Now, a programming note, due to my schedule, I've got a little bit of a trip coming up. So I will not be in on the radio show the day that we normally record the podcast. So we're going to have to record the podcast earlier in the week. So if you're planning on sending a question, I'll probably put something up on Facebook, the Facebook page, Ben Maller Show, on Tuesday. And you can send a question right now for the Real Fifth Hour. It's realfifthhour@gmail.com, R-E-A-L, and then F-I-F-T-H-H-O-U-R, realfifthhour@gmail.com. And we'll do a mailbag next week, and we'll have the same amazing content for the weekend. So that's next week. And I will be making a rare and appropriate in studio appearance tonight. I will be in studio hanging out with Koopa Loop, Roberto, and Eddie for the first time since my line went down. And I had to scramble in there with my no shoes in a rainstorm. Yeah. So
it'll be interesting because I will be leaving as you come in a few hours later.
Are you gonna leave a gift for me? Are you gonna?
No, but I'm kind of inspired though by a couple of emails that you've gotten. I might need to go check the mailroom right now to go see.
No. That's a federal crime. That's a federal crime.
I can just easily say I'm a part of this production and podcasting team. So if it's sent to Ben, it's sent to me.
So. All right, knock it off, cowboy. Knock it off. All right, listen, have a great Sunday. Thank you for listening all weekend. As always, tell a friend, review the podcast 5 stars. Give us 5 stars. That helps us out a lot. And mahalo, aloha, shalom, goodbye. We'll talk to you tonight, 11 p.m. in the West, 2 a.m. Monday morning in the East. The Ben Maller Show is back with a complete Clipper breakdown and a whole lot more. We'll get to that then.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.